Hey everyone, it's Pastor Eddie from River of Life. Just want to say thank you for joining us on our podcast. Now let's get ready to hear a word from the Lord today. What does God want to speak to our hearts today? So come on, open your Bibles, open your hearts, and let's get into the Word. How many are happy to be in the house of God today? Come on, make some noise, clap your hands. Woo! Man, I feel like I've already been to church for them baptisms, man. And that's not because I was at the 9 a.m. Thank you, brother. This guy looking good today. He's been getting me working in the gym. He's got me so... I told him I got to baptize tomorrow, brother. Be kind. But, amen. Wasn't that amazing? 10 souls publicly making their confession of faith. There's like 5 of them or 6 of them that just recently came to know the Lord right here at your church. And then a couple weeks later, they're taking the plunge publicly. And what did they to do that, right? Representing the old life, going down into that water as Jesus went into the grave on Friday. And then he rose again on Sunday. That's the newness of life coming out of that water. What a perfect picture and illustration of what it means to be a follower of Christ. What a great way to start this weekend off. Thanks for coming. If you're new or visiting, if you were bribed, compelled, handcuffed, however you're here, but you're here willingly, I want to say thank you for taking the time. We have our live stream church watching us all over the place. Can we just do something we don't normally do every week and just make some noise and welcome them today? We got a bunch of them watching today. Wherever you are, I was reading some of the YouTube comments, and you guys are watching from all over the place. It's good to have you with us today. And y'all, just to be honest with you, there's so much pressure on churches and on pastors for this moment and for this day. Even on many of you when you invite your loved ones to watch or come. And the pressure is because we want so bad for you to know Jesus the way God wants you to know Jesus. And even if you know you claim everyone here is saved and claimed, I'm sure everyone will be the first to admit there's still room for more of God in your life. How many can be honest? Can we start off like that? Amen. Amen. And so I know there's more room for God in my life. And so that's where the pressure is. We want so bad for everybody to come to know God and to know how much God loves you. How can you not love a king who died for you? What a beautiful song. That last song, man. Dave is so anointed. He can drum anyway, but I'm over there. So it was just, I'm a drummer. So I was just in love, brother. You had me up in the holies of holies on that drum solo. But that song is described in the book of Revelation of how it's going to be when we all get together in heaven. Do you know how amazing heaven is? And Revelation describes when history comes to a close and eternity begins for mankind. It's going to begin with crowning Jesus Christ, and in walks the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundations of the earth. In every tribe and every tongue and every color and every nation is represented in that throne room, worshiping Almighty God. How good it is when the angels will bow down and stand silent, because the angels don't know how it is, like you and me, to be forgiven of our sins. And the redeemed, that's us, will cry out to God and worship Him as they crown Jesus, woo-hoo, the Son of God. That's what that song was. Hallelujah. So if you're going to give me for the next, how many will give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. Give me about 30 minutes to share with you a very simple message that many can kind of get complicated and forget what the purpose of this whole week and weekend is. My assignment today for the next few minutes is to try to let you know the big picture and how it relates to you in March 2024. Like, what did Jesus raising from the dead have to do with me, Pastor Eddie? I'm a single mom, struggling. I'm a teenager, not knowing what career I'm going to pick. I'm in college, senior year, and don't know what I'm going to do. I'm a senior, and I'm in a season of life where I didn't expect to be here. And what does all this have to do with me and now? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. So I'm going to try my best to answer it in the next 20 minutes. So, by the way, those are football minutes, okay? So I'm a Detroit Lions fan, and so that's why they're doing so well, by the way. So you're welcome, because we pray for the Detroit Lions. No. I got a message for you, and I'm going to go over to the book of John, chapter 12. And so can you do something for me? We like to stand in honor of God's word. So can you stand one more time as we read the Bible together? And the scripture is going to be on your screen today. We normally use our, if you have your Bibles, you can go over there. It's John chapter 12. And Jesus is going to give us the big picture of what all this means. You know, I said earlier that now that I'm getting older in life, it's something that I noticed in myself. Is that when I go to events or football games, or my wife loves to go see these live dramas, you know, and stuff at the Detroit Opera House, and they're really cool. You know what I find myself doing, guys, when I'm sitting here and they're setting up, even at a game, while everyone's watching the players, I find myself watching the refs and watching the umps and watching the clock, and you ever pay attention to that stuff, you get this message that everything is planned. Like everyone else is like cramming hot dogs down there, throwing, you know, why ain't they playing? You know, and Jared Goff is standing on the end zone there, getting ready to take us to the Super Bowl. I'm prophesying this year. And so they're all gathered, and everyone in the stands is like, what's taking so long? I see the players, they're ready. But if you really look at the big picture, there's a timer going on. And I've learned to look at the timer up top, and that's the commercials where everybody around the United States is watching the same game on TV. They're watching these commercials. And you got all these things happening behind the scenes. When most of us are just focused on the 22 players on the field, and you got all this other stuff going on, but I've learned to look on the sidelines, and then the clock expires, and then a sideline judge does a signal to the ump, and then the ump looks at the quarterback, blows the whistle, and then we get the game going, and everyone's like, yeah, it's about time. This weekend, I want to just peel back the curtain for a moment and let you know and let you see the big picture. You're here today, maybe by accident, maybe you've been coming to this church every single Sunday for 6 months. I think God's going to do something amazing in your life today. Do you believe your life can be changed in just minutes? I know it can, because I'm not just a spokesman, I'm also a client. You ready to read this with me? John chapter 12, Jesus is telling his disciples the big picture of what Easter is all about. And he says in verse 23, Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will produce much grain. And then he gives some application here. And he who loves his life will actually lose it. But he who dislikes or hates or doesn't like his life too much in this world, he will keep it and gain eternal life. Wow, what? Then he says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. So there's a following that happens when we say we are servants of God. There's a following. And where I am, my servant will be also, because they follow me. Everybody say follow. They follow me. And if anyone serves me, my heavenly Father will honor him. Verse 31, he gives us these great insights. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he was going to die. I just want for the next few minutes to talk to you about the paradoxes of Easter. Paradox, or there's more than one, so paradoxes of Easter. Lord, we thank you for your word that you have preserved over many years for us to read and learn and gain insight and direction and guidance for our life today in 2024. For the next few minutes, Lord, I pray you anoint me to speak your words with clarity, with anointing. Anoint not just the ears, but the hearts that the seed goes out and land. Father, we all admit we have room for improvement and we can grow more in our faith. I pray that's the case today. Those of us that's been following you, Lord, let us be reminded of what this weekend is all about, God. And if anybody's here that's not following you, as close as you desire. I pray that by the end of this service today, they would make that announcement and decision to follow you. In Jesus' name, I pray that. And if you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Give somebody a high five. Say happy Easter. You look good and you can be seated. Amen. Y'all know what a paradox is, right? Paradoxes. So a paradox is a seemingly contradictory statement. It seems like when something is a contradiction at first, but then when you look at it, it's actually true. That's a paradox. Sometimes it's absurd at first, but then when you lean into it, it's actually true. It's seemingly contradictory. Like, you know, we got many of them in our culture. We have decaffeinated coffee. That's a paradox. And if you hit the cafe, I don't think we serve that. That's not real coffee. But anyway, it's not. So you have fresh. Here's another one. Fresh frozen fruit. Yeah. Here's not a paradox. It's just a false statement. Easter peeps are good candy. That's just a false statement in Jesus' name. That's not a paradox. How many like Easter peeps? Oh, Lord, we got special prayer lines for you. And geez, amen. I don't care. Nick, our church treasurer, he sent me a picture, and they did, as if those weren't bad enough, the new, if you saw them this year, they now dip them in Dr. Pepper. That's satanic in Jesus' name. I text, because I hate Dr. Pepper. There's a Dr. Pepper story that you got to understand why I hate Dr. Pepper. But anyway, and I was like, you rub the devil. And he's now attending the church down the street. And so, but we got many paradox. In the state of Michigan, those that are watching online and you live outside of the state, in Michigan, we actually got some paradoxes here. You know, in order to turn left, you got to turn right. We call it a Michigan turnaround, or it's like, you know, that's really in Michigan, you can literally live in a thumb. It's like a paradox, right? We drink pop and baked soda. Michigan, you can have your air condition on and your heat on in the same day. Come on, that's paradoxes. But you know, Jesus was the master teacher of all time. Socrates says that whoever can master the parable is the master of all sayings. And Jesus Christ was the master of parables, and he was the master of paradoxes. We read one earlier to begin this discourse, begin this talk, when Jesus gets off the donkey and starts to head to his Good Friday and Resurrection Day, he began to teach again these paradoxes. You see, God will offer us something amazing, but many times it looks and sounds absurd in the beginning. God is offering everyone right now, all of us, so many great blessings and promises in the Bible, but many times, I know, like I did before I came to know Christ, it seemed so not fun. It seemed so not good. It seemed absurd. For instance, Jesus taught the way up is actually the way down. If you want to be exalted, you must humble yourself. He taught if you love your life so much and the way you live life, and if you want to be in control of your life so much, you'll actually lose it for all of eternity. But if you're willing to give up your way of living and your way of thinking and your control of your life, you will gain eternal life. In other words, if you hold, you'll lose. But if you lose, you'll gain. We actually gain as followers of Christ in the kingdom of God by giving. We can have nothing but yet possess all things. You know you found happiness when you no longer pursue it. These are the teachings of Jesus Christ. And he begins this discourse as he heads to introduce the paradoxes of Easter. Because Easter has its own paradoxes. As we come, let's think of one, Good Friday. It's Good Friday. Wasn't too good for Jesus. What's so good about a man being crucified, being scourged, being flogged by the Roman soldiers, and then crucified on a cross? Who would call that good? We'll get to that in a minute. It's actually good why he did it. Holy Week, it should be called Hell Week. Look at what Jesus had to go through this past week. In Easter, we all love to wear our pastels and nice new shiny clothes, and that's amazing. You look good. Tell the person next to you, you look good today. If you gotta lie, just say, hey, how you doing? All right, and so, no. And it's spring, right? It's the Easter colors, and you go to Target or Target, and it's full. You got all these colors everywhere, or whatever store you go. You go to the Dollar Tree, I think, and they'll have an Easter outfit hanging out because everyone's buying these bright colors, and it's bright, and it's nice. Maybe not Dollar Tree, but I don't know. But can I just stop for a minute and ask you this? Because you could be a paradox yourself. You look so bright and good and clean and new on the outside, but how you doing on the inside? Can I just stop before we get into this Easter sermon and eat the ham? You came here today. You brought your kids. You drove. However you got here, can I just stop and say, ask you, how are you doing? How you doing on the inside, man? Ma'am, sir, how you doing? How's life going for you? How you feeling? Hopefully by the end of this message today, it's going to go a lot better than it was when you came in. I'm just going to set you up right now. You're going to get saved today. You're going to open up your heart, and Jesus Christ is going to come into your life, and he's going to rock your world. He's going to change your world. When Jesus came into this temple on this past week, the first thing he did is he went into the church. He looked at the religious group, and they had people that they weren't allowed into the church. And Jesus got so mad, they put tables up instead so they can sell things and bribe things. For that place was supposed to be for a special people, the Gentiles. And they weren't allowing them to come to God. So Jesus went in there and he flipped tables over. Your Jesus flipped tables over. Jesus. He wasn't this little soft man running through the woods with a flower in his hair. Jesus was a rugged, tough. The Bible says when he preached and he taught as one having authority, not like the rest of the teachers. Grown men dropped everything and followed him and dedicated their life to him. We all know it's impossible to get us men to follow anybody. Come on, somebody. I'm painting a picture for you today. What Jesus do you think is the real one? But he did all of that because when he comes into your life, he will flip some tables over. He will change and rearrange some things, but I'm here to tell you it's all for the good. It's a paradox. Don't seem good, it seems absurd. I like my table, move that table. Jesus says, well, let me move that table because I want to put something better there. And he did that with Easter. And the paradox is also, you know, this week, it looked like the devil was winning. It looked like evil had won. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, he come down to earth and he's teaching, he's doing miracles, walking on water, speaking to a storm and commanding it to stop. He commanded a dead man who was dead for 4 days to come out of the grave. I mean, this is Jesus. No one was ever, Elijah didn't do them kind of miracles. Nobody did a miracles like that. Jeremiah, the awesome prophet of the Bible, no one did those miracles, but Jesus did. And he came, and they all thought he was going to, you know, set the Jewish people free from Roman oppression and set up his kingdom. But he ends up going to the cross, and he dies on a cross. And if you listen real close, I guarantee you, Satan and evil was laughing, thinking that they had won. But it's a paradox, because when it looks like God isn't working, can I tell you that's exactly what God is doing? He's working. He's working even when you don't see that he's working. He had an entire plan for this weekend. It may not look like it, and there may be things going on in your life right now, and you're like, I don't know what's going on in my life. This is different from what I read in the Bible, my life, my experience. You know, I read about a resurrection, but I'm living in a Good Friday reality. What is going on? I'm here to tell you that just hold on. You might be in Saturday. This Sunday is coming. Let God have his way. Wait upon him. Trust in him, and the resurrection day is going to come. If you believe that, you can make some noise in church today. But God has a plan, even when it looks like it's not working, but it is working. The devil, he thought he won. Evil thought he won. It's kind of like that praying woman. I told this and this before. And this woman was praying. She liked to pray real loud at home. She'd open her windows and she would pray really loud. But she had a neighbor who was an atheist. And so this guy hated her because, man, she just kept praying. He tried to turn the music up, but she kept praying even louder. And then one day she got up and she began to pray, "Oh God, I need some groceries in this house. Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh." That's a name that God is a provider. And she's praying all this. And this guy's like, "Man, this praying woman's driving me crazy." He said, "I know what I'm going to do." So he went to the store and he bought all these groceries. He came and he put them on her front porch. And he went and he got in the bushes. And he rung the doorbell, hid in the bushes. She came out. She saw those groceries and went, "Woo, thank you, Jesus. You are Jehovah Jireh. You have answered my prayer." He jumps out of the bushes and goes, "Ha, got you, you crazy praying lady. There ain't no God. I bought those groceries with my money and I put them on your porch." It got real quiet. She paused for a moment, and then she went, "Whoa, thank you, Jesus, for giving me these groceries and making the devil pay for it." Everybody say, "That's a paradox." Sounds, looks absurd, but God has got a plan for all things. And Jesus begins and he gets off and he gives us these three statements. There's a couple of paradoxes in here. And this first one is when he said in verse 31, "Now is the judgment of this world." He gets off and he looks at his people and he goes, "Now is the judgment of this world." See, we know God in the Old Testament as being a God of wrath and a God of judgment. You read it all in the Old Testament. You got Noah, you got all of these stories, and he's the God. There's mercy in there, but man, he's a God of judgment. And then in the New Testament, after Jesus raises from the dead on Sunday, here's the first paradox. God is now both merciful and just. I want you to see this. This weekend, let us all know that God is both merciful and he is just. And you say, "Well, what's a paradox about that?" Well, it is, if you look at it real closely. How can you give, if you're a judge, how can you give mercy to somebody who is deserving of judgment and still be just? Think about it. What if somebody, God forbid, but if there's a tragedy in your family or somebody, this guy, you know, he kills two people and he goes to court. And he stands before the judge, and he's a murderer, right? And he's killed two people, innocent people like that. And the families come to court, and they're waiting to see the sentencing. And the judge looks at the guy and goes, "Okay, you got anything to say before I pass sentence?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, you know what, Your Honor, I want you to know I'm sorry for what I done. It was a long time ago. I'm really sorry. I'm a different person now. I'm a nice guy. I donate my time and my money." And he has a whole list of good deeds that he does. He goes to charities and nonprofits, and he's a really good man. And that judge looks at the guy and goes, "You know what? I'm going to give you mercy. You're free to go." Now, for that guy, he's going to be doing cartwheels out there courtroom. He's going to be like, "Yeah, I love this judge." But can I ask you a question? Seriously, let's be honest. Is that justice? Did those two families get justice? And moreover than that, is the judge a just God for giving mercy? You see, because somebody has to pay the penalty of that sin. God cannot let any sin go unpunished, or he would be corrupt in the very nature and standard that he tells us to live by. So Houston, we got a problem. And let me just tell you this. You know, the Bible teaches that all of us has sinned and we will all stand before God and give an account for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. For it is appointed unto every man to die once, and then the judgment. That's what the Bible says. Well, some of you are like, "Well, Pastor Eddie, man, I mean, I'm not a murderer. Oh, I'm not a murderer, so you know what? I can't really follow you in that analogy because I'm a pretty good guy. I'm in church today. And I didn't buy my outfit from Family Dollar, thank you. I went to Kohl's. And, you know, I donate a lot of time, you know, to charities. I've even been on a missions trip. I'm a pretty good guy. I pay my taxes sometimes, you know, and I'm a pretty good guy." Well, that's our problem, because it's so easy for us to compare our goodness and our good deeds with the bad deeds, or compare ourselves with other people. But here's what Jesus meant when he said, "Now the judgment of this world is done," because I first got to show you this. This is God's standard. Let me see that balloon, Gary. Bring me the balloon. My grandson loves these. Like if he's here, he'd be running down here and getting it right now. And I'd give it to him and we'd go home. That's just the way it would be. You see this balloon. I could have told you this illustration, but I want to show it to you. So every time you see a balloon, you're gonna remember what Pastor Eddie did on Easter Sunday. You're welcome. This balloon represents God's perfect standard of righteousness and holiness. And if you don't pop this balloon your whole life and you get this at birth and you never pop this balloon, you can go to heaven. But if you pop this balloon, you've broken God's commandments. And the Bible says that you and I have got to stand in front of God and give an account and be judged for it. Or God wouldn't be fair if he lets me go and lets someone go. I mean, he can't do that. He's got to judge every single sin. So this is what we do. Well, the murderer ones are the ones that's going to do. We keep knives on the front row, okay? So, and we got security people right now watching me. So don't get too close. Where's my deer hunters at? Scott, you over there? This is a nice deer hunt. Listen, this is what we always think of when you hear sermons and preaching about sin and all that. This is the big sin. Will this pop this balloon? Absolutely, easily. This is murder. This is rape. This is the horrible sins, right? This is, you know, the really big ones. And it's easy to know, well, if we pop God's balloon with this, we deserve, this is your Adolf Hitler. They deserve hell. Let them burn in hell. They absolutely did. I mean, because of this, you broke God's commandment. There you go. Don't hurt yourself. Amen. But here's the thing I want to show you. Not only will that big knife pop that balloon. I don't have my glasses on me. When you see red, stop. This, I got a little pin. Can the camera guy zoom in on this? You see this little pin? Guess what? This will also pop this balloon. Here's the thing with God's standard and holiness. He said if you lie, it's one of the Ten Commandments, you break the balloon. Has anyone here ever lied? Hands. How many are lying right now? These are the little sins. Eating marshmallow peeps. No, I'm just kidding. I got to lighten it up because it's going to get heavy. Lying will pop this in a minute, just as easy as that knife. But you know what else will? Blasphemy. Have you ever used God's name in vain? Have you ever used God's name as a cuss word? It's on all of our shows and many of our lyrics of our song. That's saying Jesus' name is a cuss word, the name we just worshiped. Or God using his last name in a cuss word as a filth word. I mean, how would you feel if someone used your mom's name like that or your dad's name? Use my mom and dad's right here. I'm a Christian, but hey, y'all take this coat off if you say, you know, we wouldn't like that. And just for the record, you ever notice that you can go to these movies and lyrics and no one ever, 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 ever uses the name Muhammad like that? You ever think about stuff like that? Oh, Buddha! You know why? I told you it's football minutes. Don't get nervous. I'm going somewhere with this. You know why? Because the name of Jesus is the only name that makes the devils in hell tremble. The name of Jesus is the only name, listen, that gives us sinful people access to an almighty holy God. You can say any name you want, but when you say the name Jesus, the demons gotta bow, evil's gotta leave, sin is broken, and salvation comes like a beam of light, no matter where you live. That's how powerful that name is. So if I was the devil, I'd be blaspheming his name. I would be getting his people that God created in the very image of God to devalue that name as well. Let's go to lust. Sexual sin. Oh, I'm getting uncomfortable, Pastor Eddie. You had me laughing. Now I'm getting all nervous. Telling you what pops the balloon in God's eyes. If we're honest, we got to be honest. You know, sexuality, God created sexuality. If you don't believe me, read the book Song of Solomon. It's in your Bible. It ought to be rated R. I mean, that's God created it. It's beautiful. It's awesome. Parents, if your kids are here, that's why we got River Kids. Amen. So Because I'm going to talk about it. No, I mean, God created. Sexuality is beautiful. It's something that God created. But listen, he said that that is only to be enjoyed in a committed relationship. We call it marriage covenant between one man, one woman. That's God's plan. Listen, everything else outside of that is actually not the design God had, and it's a sin, and it'll pop this balloon. Should I just pop it? Because I probably got half of us on that one. Well, let me see if I'll get all of you. Jesus comes along as if this wasn't bad enough. He says, if you look at a person and lust after that person in a sexual manner, you have committed the act in your heart and you've broken the law of God. I'm getting up here because that. I think that's everybody here. Unless, I don't know. But anyway, that's a lot of us. And if you've committed any of those sins, are you ready? I'm going to pop the balloon, so cover your ears. There it is. You broke it. And the Bible says if you have broken any of the law, even one of the little ones, we're just as guilty as having the big knife because we've broken the perfect law of God. And now we have the wrath of God. Romans chapter 3 says every balloon we pop, God stores up his wrath. Remember, he has to. He has to, or he is corrupt and he is not a just God. If he lets lying go, but he deals with murder, and he said a long time ago, thou shalt not lie. That means all of us is going to stand before God. And let me just ask you, how in the world do you think we're going to get out of that one? You can't pay that judge off. And I don't care what attorney you have. Jeffrey Feiger is not going to get you off of that one. You and I, the Bible says, will have to stand before God and give an account for that sin. Whoa, that's heavy, Pastor Eddie. I know, thank you. Now, I got to give you that news so we can go into the good news, because I got to give you that, listen, because that will chase you to the cross, to the good news. Now, let's read what Jesus said. He said, now I'm going to take care of judgment of this world. Here's what Jesus did this weekend, and this is why we celebrate. This is why we clap our hands. This is why me, an ex-drug addict, gangbanger, balloon, I've popped so many balloons with a knife, a pin, a 12-gauge shotgun. I've run over one with my car. I've got so many broken balloons in my life. If I stood before God, I'd be the first one to face that judgment, and it would not be pretty. You would not want to be standing behind me. But all of that is gone, and now I get mercy, and God can give me mercy instead of judgment and still be just. Why? Because here's the scripture, and I'm going to move on. The Bible says that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, never popped the balloon. Jesus never popped the balloon, but God made him as a broken balloon, as a sin for you and for me when he went on that cross. And not only that, God took the perfect righteousness of God and transferred it onto us so that now when God sees us who know Jesus Christ, he don't see broken balloons. He sees balloons blown all the way up, never broken, never damaged, but we are perfect. We are innocent. We are blameless in the eyes of God. Come on, clap if you believe that. This should be me, but instead, let me make it more blunt. Jesus pushed me off, and he said, I'm going to go on that cross, and God's going to treat me as if I lived your life, Eddie. And it ain't over there, because Sunday's coming, and that means Sunday, when I get out of that grave, the perfect righteousness that I have defeated death, I'm now going to give to you, and you are perfect, you are blameless, and you don't got to be afraid of death. You got eternal life. Come on, you happy about that? Thank you, Jesus. That's how God can give us mercy when we deserve judgment and still be just. We celebrate that this weekend. But then now we got to get a little bit more specific, because Jesus makes this other statement. He says, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. That word men, by the way, means mankind. man and men and women. So he says, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. This is the second paradox of Easter. Jesus has made himself, listen, both exclusive and inclusive. That's absurd. Nope, it's a paradox. He's inclusive, meaning he said, all people can come to me. Remember, he flipped tables over because they allow certain people in there. The religious leaders only wanted people that looked like them and dressed like them and talked like them. The Jewish nation only wanted them into the church. And so the area that was reserved for folks like you and me, people that eat pork and whatever, they wouldn't allow them into the church. And Jesus threw tables over. Why? Because Jesus wants all people to come. In fact, the greatest scripture in all of the Bible, for God so loved the world, you know it, he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus had to become like man to represent man for breaking the balloons, but not break any balloons, and then offer his perfectness on the cross for you and I breaking our balloons so we can receive his righteousness as if we never broke a single balloon. Do not ask me to repeat that. Okay. So he's inclusive. All people can come to me. Listen, I don't care if you're here and you're an atheist. You probably are really upset at that joke I told earlier, but I'm glad you're here. I know atheists. I talk with them here in our township. I have great conversations with people that are atheists, agnostics, Buddhists, Hindus. Like the guy said, he invited him to church, and he says, well, we worship thousands of gods. I said, well, come and bring all those gods with you. Because God is inclusive. He wants all people. He wants all people that has ever popped a balloon. It don't matter how many balloons you've popped. It don't matter if you had a shotgun or a little sharp object. He said, if you've broken a balloon, I want you to come. That's God. That's what this weekend represents. But it also represents that Jesus Christ is exclusive in the fact that he said, if I am lifted up. You have that verse? Put that verse back up if you got it. He said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If I am lifted up, not if Muhammad is lifted up, not if Buddha is lifted up, not if our ideology and philosophies and being a good person is lifted up. Well, what if I do more good things than bad things? You still have to pay for popping the balloon, dude. You see, that's why Jesus is exclusive, or I like to say specific, because Jesus Christ is the only one that died for the sins of the world. Muhammad never did that. Buddha never did that. Your good deeds never did that. Being spiritual, I know we got a lot of spirituality going around today, and that's a great idea and concept, is to be spiritual, because you are a spirit being. There is a spirit that God has in you, and inside it's longing for more. It's probably why you're here today. It's burning incense and rubbing stones on you. Don't do nothing but break you out in a rash. You still need something. You'll get used to it. Come back next week. You'll find that it doesn't satisfy the need inside of you that's longing for something more than this. It's got to come through Jesus. And to make it plain, Jesus says in John 14, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I am the way because he's the only one that died. I am the truth. That's a good one because, you know, everybody's got their own truth today. We have a society that it's so easy to get information now, but it's so difficult to get truth. So what many of us have, and we call it our truth, it's really information. Because the truth is that only Jesus died for your sins. Therefore, he's the only one that can pay for our sins. Amen. Come on, let's not give a golf clap on this one. This is big. You believe that? You believe that? Why is all of that so important? It's a little heavy, but it's important. Because the first step in receiving mercy instead of justice, or instead of judgment, the first step in receiving forgiveness of sins is recognizing that you need Jesus. I have to say that to you because many of us, like me, for many years thought I was just okay as long as I prayed at night, Whether I was in jail or home, I would pray, God, get me out of this one. I'll serve you. And sometimes he would. And as long as I thought in my mind that as I believed that there was a Jesus, that I was okay. But then we get to this second verse, and some of you might have thought I skipped it, but here we get to the last paradox, and this is probably the most important one out of all of them. So God is both merciful and just. Jesus is exclusive and inclusive, meaning he's the only one. But many of you are probably like myself, know what I'm saying so far, and you receive it, and even if it's new to you, you're agreeing with me. But when it comes to this step of, okay, how do I get that mercy? This is how you get it. Remember back when he said, if you hold on to your life, you'll lose your life? That's what the word believe means. Whoever believeth in me shall not perish. That word believe means to trust fully, as in a parachute when you jump out of a plane. It means to trust and commit to Jesus Christ. That goes from a mental, like I used to have, a mental belief in Jesus to really believe in Jesus. And I think everybody here, including myself, before I come to know Christ, knew what that message was. But here was my problem. I loved some of that stuff I used to do. Even it was destructive to me. I mean, there were times I hated it. There were times that I'm like, I'm so done. Let's try this drinking game, you know? Let's try this bar. Let's try this drink. Let's try this. And after a while, you know, it was fun. You know, the Bible says that there's fun in sin for a season. And how many know that season comes to an end? And when that sin season comes to an end, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. In other words, Satan, the devil, will come knocking on your door and say, have you been enjoying everything so far? Well, now it's time to pay up. I want your peace. I want your joy. I want your future. I want your family. I want your vision. I want your soul. That's why Jesus said, I got to do something about this. And I'm going to do it this weekend. I'm stepping in for judgment. And I'm going to take care of judgment. But I got to be the only one. And then that scripture says this. He's defeated the ruler of this world. The ruler of this world is cast out. Back to my story. I knew I needed to serve Jesus, but I was afraid. I didn't know if I could serve him. I didn't know if I can let some of these things go because they had such a strong hold on my life. I would even try to clean up and go to church. I would even try. I'd come to church on Easter. I'd come to church. I had my kids dedicated to the Lord when they were young. But I couldn't, you know, fully get into this Jesus thing because I was afraid. I had addictions in my life. I didn't realize it, but what was going on is I had bondage in my life. See, the Bible says that sin has power. It's fun for a season, but then it kills and won't let you go. But that's why Jesus said, I'm going to take care of that. The ruler of this world is now cast out. What does that mean? This weekend, we celebrate Jesus dying for our sins, but he rose again in power. Listen, breaking the power of the devil of sin off of your life and my life. You and I can now be free. Yeah, amen. Give me praise. You and I can now be free and experience the newness of life, the blessing of life, and all of this good stuff that God has promised to you and to me. How do you get it? You heard it in some of the testimonies. I think it was Erica shared her testimony. Powerful testimony. Thank you for sharing that. She was one that fits this message so good. She was in church. She knew about Jesus. She knew about the things of the Lord. But she wasn't experiencing them into her life because of this last paradox. Are you ready? Victory is in the surrender. That's what Jesus says. I'm going to take your judgment. I'm the only one that can do it. How many's down with those two so far? How many's happy that God will give you mercy instead of judgment? Every hand better go up in here. How many recognize that Jesus is the only way? I know that's, I just told you why. But then this is how you get it into your life. You got to surrender. Don't got to be perfect. You don't got to join the church. We're not going to make you shave your head and sell flowers at the airport. You wouldn't believe the crazy things people think that you got to do to be saved. This is how you get saved. You admit you've popped some balloons in your life. And you say, God, I don't want to pop any more balloons. because I know judgment is waiting for me every time I do it. And I don't want to do that. And it's not pleasing to you. And besides, you got a better life. But I don't know if I can live it. So I surrender my life to you. And this is what God does in exchange. It's a great exchange. He says, give me your sin, give me your shame, give me your guilt, and I'm going to give you the power and the ability to live for me, because the God of this world is thrown out. Sin no longer has a victory over you. Sin no longer has control over you. This is how I'm standing in front of you today, 26, it will be 27 years, clean and sober this November, and loving it. And loving it. How? I didn't get religious. I didn't get religious. I got Jesus. I said, I believe this stuff. I've tried everything else. Let me try Jesus. In fact, that's why I use the word surrender. I'm not going to believe in my mind. I want to surrender to Jesus. When I surrendered my life to Jesus, Bill, that's when God came in and said, okay, I'll take it from here, Eddie. Amen. Grabbed me by my hand, and he took me and changed my life. So I'm just wondering here right now, as I come to a close, this is the opportunity time where we respond to what was just said. We respond to Resurrection Sunday. So I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads in here. And those of you that are at home, maybe turn the volume up a little bit. I want you to really focus in on what I'm going to say right here. So Jesus Christ this weekend is going to provide. He's provided mercy instead of judgment. But he did it by being the only person. And he's saying, I'm here for you, but you got to surrender. Because let me just be honest with you. You've heard this said, and I used to think it and say it. Being a Christian is hard. Well, let me correct that. Being a Christian is impossible. Living for Jesus is impossible when you try to do it yourself. But if you will surrender, God will give you victory, and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Through the valleys, through the mountaintops, through the lows, through the highs, God's mercy and goodness will follow you all the days of your life. Sins will be forgiven, and you can have this resurrection power that we celebrate today living on the inside of you. You may pop a couple balloons when you walk out of here. I know I have. But man, it's a lot better than what it used to be. And I thank God I got mercy now over me and not judgment. Why? Because I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. So I'm just wondering today, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, you're listening to me. If you're here today on this Easter Sunday, 2024, what a great day to say yes to Jesus and surrender your heart to him. I wonder if there's anybody here that would say, pray for me today, Pastor Eddie. I am ready to surrender my heart to Jesus Christ. Will you just lift your hand up right where you are? I want to make sure, I want to pray for you today in this place. Just lift your hand up. Amen. See that hand. See that hand. Amen. See that hand here in the front. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I see those 5 hands. 6 in the back. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Lift that hand. Say, pray for me. I don't want mercy. I mean, I don't want judgment. I want mercy. If you're at home, put your name in the chat if you're watching on our social medias. We want to pray for you and say, I want to surrender. Well, that's beautiful. You know why? Because God's now going to give you victory. He's now going to give you victory. He's going to give you victory. You can put your hand down. I'm going to move on, because in a minute we're going to pray. But I want to move on to something else. Maybe you're here. See, this is the season where dead things come to life. And that means marriages that maybe are on the brink or maybe dead. Let me tell you something. God can resurrect your marriage. You may have visions and dreams and hopes of doing something great, but they've died. Can I tell you, this is the day where dead dreams come to life, where things that you've given up on can come back to life again today. It's all included in the package of God's victory. You may be a believer and on your way to heaven, and you got the mercy of God on your life, but you got some things in your life that you want Jesus to resurrect, and you need Jesus to come to life. Well, I want to pray for you too today in Jesus' name, and watch that. I want you to believe and have the faith, because today, on a day like this, it's easier to believe. It just is. And so let's take advantage of it. why this room is filled with faith and worship and prayer. We've been praying over chairs for 3 days in here. Your kids been prayed over, Lindsay and Felicia and the team up there, giving these little, you know, eggs and playing with that. And they're not just doing that. They're learning what you just learned. They're learning why Jesus died on the cross, because this thing is so important. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's close it out like this, I guess. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to ask our altar team to come down to the front. We got a team of people that is ready to pray for you. And we end every service like this. We sing one more song. And while we're singing, we also pray. And I'm going to invite you, if you lifted your hand for anything that I asked you to, and there were many more, will you take another step and come up in here and let us pray for you? And just come out of your seat and come on up and pray. You don't have to be afraid. We got a good church. This church here is not going to judge you. This church is not going to be judgmental against you. Randy, I'm so happy to see you coming up. We get somebody over here. I've known her since she was a little girl. Now she's holding a little girl. Anyone else want to come up? Maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you're like, you know what? I need to surrender to Jesus. Come on. Today's Easter. This is the resurrection of life, man. We want to see you experience a newness of life. You come up and face me and let us pray for you today. Before we start to sing one more song and they begin to pray, you guys can go ahead and pray. Pray with them. Talk with them. Lead them to Jesus if they need to be led to Jesus. We got another one back here, Leroy. Amen. Anyone else come up? We got a young. Amen. Jessica, God bless you. Come on up. Anyone else want prayer? Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in and God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.